Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin, thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! No! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, this is the stuff in the star!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for Roman Reigns' heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. This is going to be all about Survivor Series 2017. And boy, what a difference a week can make with the card. A lot has been added. And to be honest with you, I am a lot more interested in this card than I was just a week ago. And so we're going to get into all of that. I got my predictions as we go down the line of what I think is going to happen. But first, if you haven't followed me yet on Twitter, please do so. It's at the underscore WWE underscore podcast. Check me out there. I will be tweeting throughout Survivor Series, and I'd like to hear your opinions and your thoughts as we get through a show that is arguably, and I tweeted this out, it is arguably better on paper than some WrestleManias, some past year's WrestleManias. Now, what I mean by that is the storylines may not be the best, but on paper, this is one of the more stacked pay-per-views in WWE's recent memory. I mean, really dating back to this past year's WrestleMania. The one downside is that, yes, it is Raw versus SmackDown. It is brand versus brand. It is bragging rights versus bragging rights. And do the fans give a damn? No. That is the whole problem. This pay-per-view is built on a foundation built of sand. The only thing saving it is the star power. The only thing saving it are the stars themselves. The fact that they are loading up this card is the only thing saving it. But when you look at the premise of why Brock is fighting AJ, why New Day is facing The Shield, why it is Triple H, Kurt Angle on one side, and Randy Orton on the other side, and Shane McMahon on the other side, just to name a couple of the five on five. When you look at all of this, it's silliness. And when we get past Survivor Series, and everybody goes back to the way things were and forgets about SmackDown versus Raw, this is going to be forgotten. The only thing that I can see coming out of this pay-per-view that is, I think, a long-term story implanted in this pay-per-view that you will look back and point to is the 5-on-5 SmackDown versus Raw. And not for bragging rights. Not for this brand supremacy, as if suddenly this match determines which brand is more, which brand is supreme. How about we just look at the ratings? I mean, if you are a manager of a show, to me, there's nothing on the line, because no matter who wins, no matter who wins, if you're talking about brand supremacy, which is the A and B show, look at the ratings. This whole thing is silly. We've been through it. I know it's Raw versus SmackDown, but it's built into the schedule. I don't know why I'm supposed to get riled up about something that's built into the schedule that has no real substance of consequence for the losing brand. None. Zero. Okay, Kurt Angle's going to lose his job as threatened by Stephanie. And that is something else that I believe I talked about a couple of weeks ago on the show, is that Stephanie McMahon is never, ever billed or written to get her comeuppance. Ever. Okay, WrestleMania rolls around once a year. 2 years ago, she gets inadvertently speared by Roman Reigns. This past year, she inadvertently goes through a table. It's never, ever on purpose. And God forbid any superstar ever gives it back to her on Raw when she shows up. Ever. She's always billed to neuter whoever she is in the ring with, look like she is the supreme being, talk down to a gold medalist, talk down to a Hall of Famer in Mick Foley and the most recent Kurt Angle. They stand there and cower at the very presence of Stephanie McMahon. And why even bother having a general manager if they can't think for themselves? Why even bother having somebody there if they aren't able to think on their own, make their own decisions? I know this has nothing to do with wrestling, but when you look at baseball now, the New York Yankees have gotten rid of Joe Girardi. And they're looking to bring in somebody that is also going to go by the numbers, by the book. Well, you could bring in anybody off the street, a pedestrian off the street. Take your pick. You could bring that person in and they could do about the same job. Because all they're doing is, can you read? Okay, can you follow statistics? Yeah, you're hired. I mean, that is what's taking the subjectivity and the spice of a manager, and bringing it back to wrestling, of a general manager, being able to think of their own, stand on their own 2 feet, stand up, and once in a while make a gut decision. If you look at Kurt Angle, and I would say overall Kurt Angle as a GM role has gotten a D plus to a C minus, below average. I wouldn't say it's been a complete bust, but in this role, Kurt feels so scripted compared to his past WWE tenure. He feels just so produced at times. He's on his phone every time the camera goes on him backstage. He's constantly texting, constantly on the phone. If I had a job of that stature and I'm on the phone that much, and it's such a prestigious job that requires so much experience and knowledge, and I'm on the phone that much, do you think I'm keeping my job? I mean, it's like being, think about this. If you're on any job that you have, and you are on the phone as much as Kurt Angle is, and it's being publicized on TV, do you think you'd keep your job? I mean, the way Kurt is being portrayed on TV as a general manager, he's coming across as somebody that the position doesn't require as much knowledge and experience as we think it does. I mean, the matches pretty much make themselves. It's obvious when you're going to make a tag match or a six-man tag, or if the women just roll in your office, you're going to make a battle royal. I mean, it's just so formulaic at times that I think Kurt Angle is not, I don't think he has excelled in this role. I think his legacy is actually being hurt right now by the general manager role that he is in. I think that also, I mean, this is a little, I'm not trying to pick on the guy. But when you look at Kurt Angle, I know that he has had many surgeries. He has more mileage on his body than any of us could ever comprehend between the Olympics, the training for the Olympics, WWE for 6-7 years, TNA, back to WWE, on top of the drug abuse that he's had, alcohol problems. He has taken a hell of a toll on his body. But it is getting a bit distracting now. And I hope I don't ruin it for anybody else, or maybe you've already noticed and don't care. But it's distracting for me when I look at Kurt Angle. Anytime he's in a suit, first of all, I'm tired of the suit. I'd like to see Kurt Angle in just maybe normal street clothes instead of looking like a corporate puppet. Maybe that's part of it. But when you look at Kurt, am I the only one that's noticing that it's looking like he's constantly like squatting, or he's constantly got his knees bent? I mean, Shawn Michaels had this ailment or whatever to some extent as well. And Shawn Michaels had knee injuries and he'd had a funny walk. But Kurt, he's just standing there. It's like he's doing a half squat all the time. I don't know. I'm obviously it's from just the wear and tear on his body, but it just looks awkward. And I'm concerned if he ever has a one-on-one match. You can put him in all these multi-man matches you want because he is easily covered by these matches. And you don't have to have him exposed and really visibly see his limitations that he has at this point in his career. You don't have to see that because of the cover that he has and the guys that can take up the time while Kurt Angle comes in, just as he did with the Shield at TLC, and hide his body with the vest and just dish out, 40,000 chair shots that get, we all know how the chair shots go. It's hit him in the gut, hit him in the back, hit him in the gut, hit him in the back, and repeat. And that is how Kurt Angle has done it. Yes, he's delivered an angle slam to Shane. And you know what, though? Are we going to see Kurt Angle versus Triple H? Yes. And I think that is the whole premise and the story that we'll be talking about coming out of Survivor Series. There's going to be a lot of cool moments with Angle on one side, John Cena on the other, the history of those two with John Cena debuting against Kurt Angle. There's going to be a lot of cool moments, obviously, with Shane and Kurt. A lot of cool moments, I think, with Randy and Kurt Angle, Triple H and John Cena on opposing sides. There's going to be a lot of really, really cool moments, I think, in this match. Ultimately, though, this match means nothing other than, okay, Kurt's job is apparently on the line. I think that Jason Jordan may interject in this match. At one point, I did think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens might, but they got sent home from the UK tour. Apparently, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. I think that their role is going to be diminished if at all they appear on this pay-per-view. So let me get into the predictions, and I'm going to start right at the top. And starting at the top here with the 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series elimination match, I think this is going to be I wouldn't say 5-star, but it's going to create those cool moments of rivalries from years gone by with Triple H and John Cena going face-to-face, Shinsuke and Kurt, Shinsuke and Triple H. There's going to be some really cool moments with Braun and John Cena. There's just a lot of those WrestleMania moments, if you will, or moments, or whatever they call it. There's going to be a lot of stare downs, really neat and different, unique matchups. I'm looking forward to this match, even though I understand that this whole pay-per-view is ridiculous on the foundation, as I said, of sand, that it's SmackDown versus Raw, which ultimately means absolutely nothing, because guess what? You're both working for the same company. You have announcers switching back and forth on shows. You have John Cena, who's a free agent. Undertaker, who's a free agent. You just have a lot of just quirky things and things that just don't make sense that there should be any kind of rivalry whatsoever. But I think this is ultimately going to be a match that we're talking about coming out of the pay-per-view. I'm looking forward to this. There's no question. I may complain about the storyline and the logic behind this whole pay-per-view. And by the way, yeah, this whole pay-per-view is the only time you'll see SmackDown and Raw go head-to-head in competition. Yeah, but don't worry about Royal Rumble doesn't exist. WrestleMania doesn't exist. None of that stuff exists, guys. It's just once a year. Anyway, I think ultimately SmackDown's going to win. I think that it's going to lead to a Triple H versus Kurt Angle rivalry, maybe with Jason Jordan getting involved, trying to interject himself, getting some revenge on Triple H. Something's going to go wrong there. And I think that Kurt versus Triple H is ultimately what the whole purpose of this match is. I think that is a good matchup when you look at it. Triple H is a in-ring general. He complements the style of Kurt Angle, even at his diminished talent, really, at this point. So, as I said, I'm looking forward to this match. It's going to be really good. And I think that there's going to be those moments that we go, oh my God, we haven't seen these two in a while. We haven't seen this matchup yet. And that's what this match is going to provide on top of the seed being planted for Triple H versus Kurt Angle, likely at WrestleMania. The Universal Championship of Brock Lesnar versus WWE Champion AJ Styles and a champion versus champion. No titles on the line. This is a tough one to call. I'm going to say Brock Lesnar wins this. And the reason I say that is because I still believe he's being groomed for Roman Reigns. I still believe that. That has been the talk since the day after WrestleMania 33 this year. And I still believe it. And if you're good, AJ is the underdog here. He can survive a loss in this match. I think Brock needs the win more than AJ Styles does. No titles on the line, so You can build AJ back up here. Maybe Jinder costs AJ the match. There could be a run-in. Ultimately, I think Brock is going to win this match in what is going to be one of the more unique matches that Brock has ever had. He has gone against Goldberg. He's gone against Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe since WrestleMania. So AJ is going to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting here and making Brock look like a million bucks. This is going to be a cool match. I don't think this match is going to end with 1-5. I really would be disappointed if it ended with AJ losing in the same fashion Braun and Samoa Joe did with an F5 out of nowhere. It's not that kind of match. AJ's speed is going to come into play here, and that's what makes it also a unique matchup from Brock's past two. So this is going to be really good. Do I see 5 stars? No. I see a 12-minute match with AJ ending up taking the pinfall, whether it's clean or because of Jinder Mahal interjecting himself in this match. The Raw Tag Team Championship with Sheamus and Cesaro versus the Usos. I would say that the Usos win this. I think the Usos need it more. To me, they are higher on the pecking order than Sheamus and Cesaro are. Again, no titles are on the line, so I think that the Usos win this in probably a 15-minute matchup. It's tough because, yes, the Usos are quasi-babyface at this point, but it's really heel versus heel here, so I don't know how the crowd's going to react to this one. The crowd reaction is going to be interesting, and I fully expect them to support the Usos, but they're not fully turned. So I don't know how the audience is going to react to this one. Shield versus New Day, another one that's going to be very interesting from a crowd reaction standpoint. I think ultimately they're going to cheer for the Shield, although the caveat here is this is a pay-per-view crowd. And how do they react to Roman Reigns when he's in the ring? Do they isolate him and just boo him and cheer Dean and Seth? Or do they look at the Shield as one cohesive unit? I think on Monday, Roman had one of the best babyface promos he's had since they've been trying to make Roman Reigns a successful babyface. And I tweeted this out, that the first time in 3 years of this Roman Reigns babyface experiment project that I actually found myself supporting and enjoying what Roman had to say to Stephanie about her going through the table and at WrestleMania, which has not been addressed. So that was nice to see that he was the one to stand up to Stephanie. And I oddly found myself supporting him. The question is, do they support him when he's in the ring and getting that hot tag from Dean or Seth? Do they boo him? Do they cheer him? It's going to be a very, very cool and really interesting reaction from that audience on Sunday. Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte. That is also a, man, this is also a tough one to call. Both women need the win. Charlotte, just becoming SmackDown Women's Champion, needs a little bit of momentum, as the corporate buzzword, to support that corporate buzzword. Alexa Bliss, I mean, she's been kind of stagnant as well. I think she needs to get a little traction. This one, I think, could end up in a non-finish. I really believe that. I mean, maybe there's a rematch at Rumble or WrestleMania. These two could have a very, very good match. 3 to 4 stars out of 5. If given time. I really believe that. These two have and again, we haven't seen them go one-on-one. And I think that this is the time to shine. And I really expect, if given enough time, they could put on a hell of a show here. Alexa could add a really cool dynamic. She's got a great look. She is one of the best women heels to come along in years. Charlotte, clearly a very strong, established babyface at this point, also is really coming into her own. And after she thanked her dad, we're all supposed to forget the two times that she totally humiliated him, slapped him, and just completely embarrassed him on SmackDown. Yep, so we're just going to forget that. But we move on. As Vince McMahon would say, nobody remembers. I do. All right, so now, the women's 5-on-5 match. Honestly, I don't want to say I don't care, but I think ultimately, okay, if I'm going to pick something, I'm going to say this. I think Alexa beats Charlotte, but the Raw team beats SmackDown in the 5-on-5. Ultimately, this is going to be a even drawn series. I know that the emphasis is placed on the men's 5-on-5, which Stephanie seemed to highlight on Raw a couple of weeks ago. But ultimately, I think when you look at the scorecard, it's going to be even, which ends up doing nothing for a storyline that didn't mean anything anyway. Okay, the Intercontinental Champion here, we got The Miz versus Baron Corbin. Again, heel versus heel. I think The Miz is going to take this. He's been getting pummeled by The Shield as of late. I think he's going to take it, and Baron Corbin can take the loss because ultimately, again, this means nothing. The only thing holding this together is name value. It's name versus name. But the story behind why they're fighting is the problem, and the problem, it's as I said, it's on a foundation of sand, and I'm just holding on to, okay, it's just name versus name. I have to forget why they're fighting because it's just silly. So here we go here. Cruiserweight Championship, Enzo versus Kalisto. I'm going to say it's Enzo. He seems to be more over, and that's really it. I know I don't have much more to say about that. So, again, guys, I'm looking forward to this pay-per-view. I think it's going to be one that we're talking about for a while, at least on paper. This is really one of the more exciting shows that they've put together in quite some time. AJ versus Brock is, I think, infinitely more interesting to some people than Jinder versus Brock, although I will say this. I was looking forward to Jinder getting his ass kicked by Brock Lesnar. I will say that. But when you put AJ in there as the second option, I mean, you just have to go with AJ. That doesn't mean I would not like to see Jinder versus Brock at some point. I would. I think that they are just saying, hey, we may not have Brock past WrestleMania. If we're going to get Brock versus AJ in, it's got to be now. And I think that's the way they're thinking because they don't know if Brock's going to re-sign past WrestleMania 34 after he drops the belt to Roman Reigns, which we all know is going to happen. It's crazy that we've all seen this coming, and it has been pretty much confirmed since the day after WrestleMania 33. But ultimately, guys, I'm looking forward to this. Again, follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast if you want to hear my tweets, or hear my tweets. Well, I guess you can hear them if you read them. But you can look at my tweets, you can interact, you can talk, you can hear, also tell me your opinions. Really, it's a lot of fun. So I hope you guys take advantage of that. And yeah, so that's all I got for today. I know it's quick and dirty, but it is a Friday. It is November, what the hell's today? 17th as I record this. So hope everyone has a great weekend. Enjoy Survivor Series, and I'll be back next week for an official Survivor Series review. So don't miss that. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spreaker and anywhere that supports a podcast feed. All right, guys, that's all I got. Take care. I'll talk to you next time.